A square picture caught my eye. I got up, my feet moving on their own accord toward the shattered frame on the wooden floor. I pushed away the broken glass, holding up a black-and-white picture. It was then I understood. It was then I realized. A sense of calm instantly came over me. I held my entire future in the palm of my hand.
Briggs, I felt as lost as I did back before Austin came into my life. I almost found myself driving to the Brooklyn Bridge to seek solace, clarity, or something. Anything but the pain and sadness that had taken over and made itself home in my heart. Instead, I just drove around aimlessly, hiding underneath the hoodie of my sweatshirt, leaning my head against the window. I was locked away in my own thoughts, my mind held captive by the feelings and emotions that were spilling out of my soul, out of the little voice in the back of my head. The one that I had been trying to ignore for the last 4 years, the one that wouldn't fucking go away no matter what I did or told myself. I was a prisoner to the memories of the man that made me fall in love with him, the one that protected me, made me laugh, made me smile. My friend. My everything. No longer the carefree girl that lived and thrived with all of her heart, that smiled and laughed all the time, the girl that was alive and not dead inside. I no longer felt whole, complete, or safe. I didn't want those memories to be just a time in my life where I lived in a fantasy because now this was my reality. I hated that feeling more than anything. Loving Austin had always consumed my every thought, my every desire, my every want and need. None of that changed. It was just in a very different way now. Ways that I barely understood, ways that scared the hell out of me and made me feel alone and lost. I was beginning to hate life again, and I had no one to blame but myself. I let him in. I let him love me, and I also let him destroy my heart. I didn't know how to find my way without him. He was the reason I found it in the first place. It physically pained me to watch the emotional detachment of everything I said to him, all the facts within the lies he was telling himself. Like time got lost for him, the days, the months, the years. As if the drugs had taken control of his very being, including his heart. My Austin disappeared more and more as time went on. I couldn't find him through the haze. Not yesterday. Not today. I could only pray for tomorrow. A new day may bring back the old Austin. All I had left was wishful thinking. I parked my car in the parking garage, noticing that his hadn't moved from the spot he left it. I would be lying if I said I wasn't nervous about what I would be walking into, which Austin would be there. The good or the bad? The one I loved with all of my heart? The one I still saw behind all the lies? Or the addict that I loved though wanted to hate? The addict I just wanted to save? I opened the door and was immediately assaulted with a fresh, clean scent. I peered around the open space with wide eyes and a confused expression. The apartment was spotless. Not a thing out of place. The bed was nicely made, complete with the throw pillows Austin hated. What shocked me more than anything was there were no drugs in sight. All the usual places cleared off and wiped down. My hand went to my mouth in complete and utter shock. This must have taken him forever. How long was I lost for? I continued to take in what appeared to be a dream before setting my gaze on Austin, who was dressed in black slacks and a blue-collared button-down shirt, his sleeves rolled up, showing off his tattoos. But it was his eyes that caught my immediate attention. They were bright blue again. I couldn't remember the last time I saw that color, no longer tainted by the dark dilated glare, by the haze, by the drugs. My heart instantly leapt out of my chest, profusely pounding against my ribs, crippling me as I made my way over to him. There were candles lit on the dining table, trays of covered food waiting to be eaten with champagne chilling in a bucket of ice. "What's all this?" I asked, taken aback. My hand now placed over my heart, trying to hold it together. He stood rounding the corner of the table, stopping with only a few inches of space between us. I smiled. I couldn't help it. He looked like everything I ever wanted, breaking through my resolve and hatred. "Austin." He placed his hand on the side of my face, using his thumb to caress my cheek as he had done so many times before. I could smell the lingering scent of cigarettes that I had come to love over all these years. Got lost in his eyes, in his gaze, in the way he was looking at me, devouring me with a stare as if it were the first time he ever laid eyes on me. with the same depth he showed when I was dancing in Miami 6 years ago. It was the look that melted my heart and made me weak in the knees, the same look that brought my walls crumbling down. I'm so sorry, Daisy. Austin. He placed his finger on my lips, silencing me. I know I keep apologizing to you time and time again. I know I may sound like a broken fucking record at this point, but I swear to you on our love, on the love that I have for you so deep within my bones, that I've always, always meant it, that it's always been true. My lips parted, trying to steady the beating of my heart that I swear he could hear. I don't know what happened, baby. I wish I had a better reason for you, better explanation after all this time, after everything you've been going through, what I've put you through. I'll never forgive myself for that. I've been racking my brain the entire day trying to figure it out. He took a deep breath, trying to gather his thoughts, his emotions. I got lost. I got so fucking lost with the lifestyle, the drugs, the parties. I don't know how I lost my way. It just took over. It was almost as if I was an outsider looking in. Every time I told myself I'm not going to get fucked up tomorrow, I'm not going to give in. I was doing the drugs before I even realized it was already the next day. It took control. I know, I breathed out. He shut his eyes, the pain of my words too much for him to hear. It's why I didn't want you to take over in the first place. I've seen what happens. I've seen it my entire life. Men come and go in this business. Some are lucky enough to walk out the door. He opened his eyes when he realized what I implied. I thought I lost you, Austin. I thought you weren't going to come back to me, that the drugs, money, and power replaced what we had. I thought everything we shared was... Shh, he whispered against my lips, gripping the sides of my face tight. I leaned into the warmth that I'd missed so damn much. That won't ever happen. I promise you that I won't ever, ever make you feel that way again. I will never let you feel alone again. Nothing can take me away from you, I swear to you. You're my home, Daisy. You've always been my home, my heart, my soul. I didn't start living until I met you. I'm so fucking sorry, baby. I took in every last emotion he was giving me, letting his words that I so desperately wanted to be true take over. He kissed me, lightly beckoning my lips to open for him. They did. Feeling him. Loving him. Needing him. Everything is going to be different from now on, I promise, baby. We can go. We have more than enough money. Let's escape this life, escape the sadness that this life has brought on. Make new memories. We can start our life together. The one you've always wanted and the one I've never stopped wanting to give you. Tears streamed down my face. I wanted to believe everything he was saying. No more lies. What? You mean it? We can go? We can start over? Somewhere else? Somewhere far away from here? I asked, question after question, not knowing which one I wanted answered the most. I'll go wherever you want, as long as we're together. That's all that's ever mattered to me, he rasped, in between kissing me. He rested his forehead on top of mine, never breaking our connection. Our love. He looked deep into my eyes with more sincerity than I had ever seen before, like his soul was staring back at me. Marry me. I tried to jerk back, but he held me in place by his grasp. What? What did you just say? He rubbed his nose back and forth over mine and spoke with conviction. Marry me, Daisy. I released the breath I didn't realize I held, my hesitation bringing me back. Are you serious? Are you being serious right now? I wept, my tears covering his hands. I've never been more serious about anything in all my life. I love you more than anything on this earth. Marry me. I wanted to say yes so fucking badly. But so much had happened between us. He smiled, kissing me all over my face, wiping my tears with his lips, taking away all the pain that had lived inside them for so many years. He stopped, and my body slowly slid down his until my feet touched the floor.
You're my girl. You'll always be my fucking girl,
he stated, with his own voice breaking. He kissed me passionately, our tongues taking what the other needed, his grasp still tightly placed on the sides of my face. We kissed one last time, long and true, before he pulled back to look deep into my eyes again and said,
You're going to be the best mama to our baby, Briggs.
My heart broke. Again.
Chapter 28. Austin. I felt her immediately tense in my arms, going rigid like someone just knocked the wind out of her.
"Why would you say that?"
she asked, searching my face for an answer, worry evident in her tone. I kissed the tip of her nose and let go of her face. I grabbed the flutes, pouring some champagne in each one. I handed her a glass, picking up mine, clinking it against hers. I smiled.
"I found the ultrasound picture in the frame on our nightstand," I said, taken in her distress. "I know you can't drink, but I got a sparkling cider to celebrate the news,"
I added, placing my hand over her stomach, over our future. She instantly stepped back away from my touch as if it burned her. I shook my head in confusion, not understanding what I'd done.
"What's wrong? That's why you did all this?"
She frantically looked around the apartment, her gaze not setting on one place for very long.
"The clean apartment? The dinner?"
She stared down at the table and then back up at me.
"The realization? The future? The proposal? That's the only reason you did all—"
I stepped toward her and she stepped back again. I cocked my head to the side, taken aback.
"Baby, I've always wanted to marry you. What are you talking about? You're not making any sense right now. I know the timing may seem wrong, but you know that's not true. I love you, Briggs. Finding the ultrasound picture of our baby made me realize what the fuck I was doing. Knowing a part of me is growing inside of you brought me clarity. Made me see what I needed to do to stop fucking up. I could never put your life or our child's in danger. You know that? You know me."
"No!"
she yelled out, chucking the glass of sparkling cider that was in her hand at the wall behind me. Liquid and glass flew everywhere.
"The fuck? Jesus Christ! You can't be this upset that I found the ultras—"
"No! Are you fucking blind? This is about you, not me. I don't know you. I don't know the man you have become, Austin. I have been living with a complete stranger almost 4 years. My Austin is gone. The drugs took him away from me,"
she screamed, shaking to the core with anger. I set the glass down on the table, putting my hands out in a surrendering gesture. I knew her emotions were running wild, that I had hurt her, and she was just lashing out.
"I know. Calm down. This isn't good for the baby."
"There is no fucking baby,"
she screamed at the top of her lungs, falling to the floor, burying her head in her hands, sobs consuming her entire body. Instantly, I stepped back, blown away by the words. A sense of loss settled over me. I didn't know what she was talking about. I saw the ultrasound. I saw our baby with my own two fucked up eyes. I didn't go to her. I didn't comfort her. I started to pace back and forth, my hands roughly pulling up my hair, knowing that she was about to rip my fucking heart out.
"What are you— Jesus, Austin, haven't you seen me? When was the last time you really looked at me before today? I've barely been able to get off the couch because I've been recovering."
I grimaced, locking eyes with her.
"Recovering? Recovering from what, Briggs? What the fuck have you been recovering from?"
She placed her hand over her mouth, holding the truth in.
"Answer me!"
She just sat there on the floor in front of me, drowning in her own misery, and shook her head, no, not wanting to tell me. As if she didn't tell me, if she didn't say it out loud, then it wasn't true. She didn't do it.
"You killed my baby, didn't you?"
I spewed, saying it for her.
"Is that what you're recovering from, Briggs? Killing our fucking child?"
I seethed, beyond livid, beyond reason or doubt. I couldn't see straight. I wanted to scream. I wanted to punch something. How could she have done this to me? To us? She shook her head, getting up on her feet and narrowing her eyes at me.
"No! You don't get to be the victim here, Austin! Have you seen our home? Have you seen what you've done to our goddamn home? What you've let inside our house? I would never bring a child into this world, not in a million fucking years! You're never fucking sober! What do you think would have happened to Molly? That little girl at the party, if I hadn't walked in here when I did? Huh? Tell me!"
I scoffed,
That's why you killed our baby? That's your justification for killing my child? Without fucking telling me? I violently roared.
My fists clenched at my sides, my anger taking control, seeping out of my blood onto the woman that I thought I knew.
What about you, Briggs? Even if I fucked up, you couldn't have raised our kid? Are you that fucking cruel? You didn't have to fucking kill it.
Stop saying that, she gritted out.
Stop saying what? The truth? What would you like me to stop saying?
Because trust me, baby, I'm not even close to saying what I really fucking want right now.
You want to talk about truths? How about this one? My parents died. Were killed in a car accident. Were taken away from me in the blink of an eye. And I had no control over it. Not one. Who took me in, Austin? Who raised me? In this life, in this godforsaken life, that little girl, Molly, her mom died too. You know who she was here with? You know who brought her to your party? Sat her down at a table full of drugs with junkies all around? Leaving her to fend for her goddamn self? Her father. And you know who let it happen? You! Why? Because you were too fucked up to even care. That's why. That's fucking selfish. I would never be able to live with myself, knowing that if anything were to happen to me, my child would be raised in this life by you, or by my uncle. Do you understand me?
She paused to let her words sink in, raking me up and down with a look of disgust.
That's why I did it, and it almost fucking killed me. I fucking hate myself for it. But where have you been, Austin? Because the man I fell in love with would have known that something was wrong with me. The second I walked through the fucking door, you would still be oblivious to my pain had you not found that ultrasound picture that I placed behind that picture. That picture is not us anymore. We are not that couple anymore. I've been living in hell, mourning the life I took away for 6 goddamn weeks, Austin, while you've been lost in your hazed world.
I took in everything she was saying. Every last word.
You say you don't know me, Briggs, that I'm not the same man you fell in love with.
Well then, baby, that fucking makes 2 of us. I have no idea who you are either, because the woman I love would have never killed our baby. I may be an addict, but at least I'm not a murderer. I viciously spewed, regretting it immediately. Words could cut you open like knives, and I knew I just sliced away a huge part of her heart with what I said. I couldn't take it back, as much as I wanted to. The damage was already done. I knew she would never forget my words, but I prayed to God that one day she would forgive them. Her hand was up in the air before I got the last word out. I caught it midair, tugging her toward me. She tried to break free, roughly pulling her arm away from my grasp. I grabbed her other arm. The momentum of her trying to fight me off made me unintentionally slam her against the wall. She winced but didn't stop struggling.
Get the fuck out! Leave!
She yelled, whipping around.
Stop! I argued. Fucking stop! I don't want to hurt you. Calm down. Calm the fuck down!
I ordered through a clenched jaw, trying to control her thrashing body. She slowly gave up, panting profusely, her chest rising and falling with each second that passed between us. I leaned forward, our lips almost touching.
Why, Briggs? Why didn't you fucking tell me? Why didn't you give me a choice in the matter? It was my baby, too. I should have had a say. Why didn't you give me that right? Why did you take that away from me?
I asked, needing to know. She opened her mouth to say something, but nothing came out.
As much as it kills me to have said all those things to you, I won't apologize for it, because at the end of the day, our baby is gone. No excuses will take away the fact that you didn't have the common decency to tell me. You made the decision for both of us, like I didn't even matter. Were you ever planning on telling me?
Her breathing hitched. By the look on her face, the answer was no. I peered deep into her eyes and breathed out.
You just killed a part of me that you will never get back, that I will never get back.
I let her go, stepping away from her. She swallowed hard, her eyes watering,
her lips quivering as if she knew what I'd just said was true. For the first time, I didn't want to comfort her, to hold her, tell her she was my girl, and that I loved her, because for the first time, I was staring at a stranger, and not the woman that I knew and loved. I finally understood what she meant when she said she didn't know me. For years, she kept saying that I had changed, that I had become another person, which only made me hate myself more because I knew I brought this on myself. I was the reason she felt like she had no other choice, no other decision to be made. I did this. That realization was my rock bottom. Or so I thought.
Austin,
she coaxed, reaching out for me. It was like she knew what I was going to do even before I did. I turned around and left.
Austin, please don't do this. Please don't lose yourself again,
she begged as I opened the door walking out of the apartment, not bothering to shut it. I wanted her to watch me walk out of her life. Two wrongs don't make a right, but a part of me wanted to hurt her as much as she just hurt me. I drove around New York City for I don't know how long. Time just seemed to stand still as the pain in my heart took over. There wasn't one ounce of my body that didn't yearn, that didn't feel like it was dying. I'd never felt so empty and hollow in all my life. But the underlying demons were waiting, always my companions, always sitting right next to me, waiting for the emotional devastation to take over, so they could come out and play. I blinked, and I was sitting on John's couch, snorting line after fucking line, trying to go numb, trying to block out the last 24 hours. But it wasn't working. The pain was still alive and bleeding out of me, leaving nothing but destruction in its wake.
You want to forget, bro?
John asked, sensing my distress. My bloodshot eyes settled on the needle in his hand, and then back up to his face. He was tightening the belt around my upper arm before I could even answer, telling me to make a fist. I did. The second I felt the needle poke through my skin, I watched my despair fill the syringe with blood. And then John pushed down the plunger. I kissed goodbye our baby. I kissed goodbye Briggs. I kissed goodbye Austin. Leaning my head back against the couch, letting the crave take over. The worst part was that I just kissed goodbye to my future and everything I believed in.
Briggs. I went to the storage unit. Austin had left the key for me if I ever wanted to go there. I did. For the first time, I came face to face with all my parents' belongings, trying to seek comfort and guidance. There was none to be found there. I decided to stop at a church on the way to the clinic, needing some sort of peace of mind. I'd never been in a church before, too afraid that all my sins would make the roof cave in on me. I didn't even know if I was Catholic. At that point, I didn't care and it didn't matter. I dipped one finger into the cold holy water, hoping it wouldn't burn me, and made the sign of the cross like I'd seen in movies. One foot in front of the other, I walked toward the first pew of the empty cathedral, right before God. A man I didn't even believe existed until that very second as I made my way into his house. The echo from my feet mimicked the sound of my heart beating against my ribs. I got down on my knees, crying and praying for forgiveness for what I was about to do. Please, God, please forgive me. I pleaded with every last fiber of my being. Please, grant me forgiveness. I have no other choice. Please, you have to believe me. Just please show me some mercy. Please guide me. I sat there, pleading with someone I wasn't sure existed, but I had to try and believe, try to make this right, when all of it was so wrong. I don't know how long I was there on my knees waiting for I don't know what. A sign? I got to my feet, looking at Jesus on the cross, and whispered, I'm so sorry, before turning to leave. I cruised through the streets of New York, fighting the urge to drive back home, tears still streaming down my face. I turned around several times and headed to my safe place, trying to block out the girl's voice on the GPS telling me I was going the wrong way. But she was right. Home was the wrong way, and I had to stop running. I pulled up to the clinic just after one and sat there looking at the sign through blurred eyes, my thoughts raging a war in my head. I closed my eyes, leaning my head on the cool steering wheel, trying to catch my breath, breathing in and out, telling myself that this was the right decision pleading for my mind to console my heart. Before I knew it, I was out of the car and walking in. The door banged as I opened it, startling me out of my hazy state. I walked up to the receptionist, gave her my name, and was about to take a seat. I sat in the lobby of the doctor's office, waiting for my name to be called. It broke my heart to see all the women awaiting the same fate. Words couldn't describe the emotions coursing through my body, the turmoil and doubt that had taken residence inside of me. The last 2 weeks weren't like anything I had ever experienced before. I would hate myself for the rest of my life for going through with this, but I would hate myself even more if, heaven forbid, something happened to me and my child would be left to an addict and the god of organized crime. As each patient was called back, my heart sped up more and more, another piece of me dying little by little. I knew it would be my turn soon, and as much as I wanted to get this over with, I was also terrified. My legs were bouncing nervously, the anticipation killing me. I got out of my seat to grab another magazine that I was blankly looking through. There were no words to describe the pain I felt in my heart at that moment, what I had been going through alone. Always alone. Bing! I walked out of the office, needing some air. I crouched down near the curb, all of a sudden feeling like I was going to be sick. I clenched my only lifeline in my hand, contemplating calling Austin. My heart was pounding out of my chest. There was a ringing in my ears, and the world in front of me began to spin. I dry-heaved a few times, only then remembering I hadn't had breakfast that morning. I slid my phone open and pressed recent calls. Austin's name was the first on the list, staring at me, judging me. I was just about to press send when the door behind me binged again, making me jump and drop my phone onto the sidewalk. I'd known I was pregnant for a week the day of the party. I wasn't feeling well for a few days, but I honestly thought it was from everything that was going on with Austin. I blamed it on the stress, the nerves, and the emotional mayhem causing my body to shut down. I didn't want to eat. I was always nauseous, and just felt like shit in general. I went to the doctor, hoping she could prescribe me some antibiotics or something to make me feel better. When I told her my symptoms, she immediately asked me when my last period was. That's when it hit me that I was late. Right then and there, I knew the cause of my sudden illness. She gave me a cup to pee in, and a few minutes later, the test confirmed that I was pregnant. She told me how far along I was, but honestly, I checked out. Everything faded as she did the ultrasound and handed me the photo when she was done. All that mattered was that I was pregnant. Any other person would be happy with this news, but I was torn. I spent the rest of the day at home by myself just lying around, rubbing my belly, fantasizing about life with a baby, looking at the ultrasound photo for hours. Austin was working or getting high or whatever the fuck he was doing at that point. He came home later that night with John right by his side. They smoked and did some blow. I sat out on the balcony with my memory blanket wrapped around me, gazing at the buildings, at all the lights and sounds of the city that never slept, allowing the chaos to take control over what had become my life. The day of the party, I spent walking around the city, lost, confused, and overwhelmed. I wanted to tell Austin I was pregnant. I wanted to share the news with him, hoping that maybe it was what he needed, the push to come back to me. I was scared. Terrified that even if I told him, nothing would change. He would be happy and want to celebrate by getting high or partying. But then I walked by the art gallery I took him to for his birthday, and his sketch of me was now sitting dead center in the window for all to see. That was when I realized he needed to know, that I needed to tell him. If he still didn't change, if it still didn't help him find his way, then I would raise the baby by myself. There wasn't a chance in hell that I would ever let my child step foot anywhere near this life. The second I got home and parked my car in the garage, a sick, disturbing feeling manifested deep within my core. I walked to my door with my heart heavy and full, filled with nothing but worry, concern, and anxiety. Coming home to a party was nothing new. But when I saw that little girl, my heart dropped. Molly playing with drugs. Nobody watching over her. Nobody protecting her. Nobody taking care of her. My heart shattered along with the fantasy of the life I thought I could have. It was Austin that drove the dagger into my heart even further when he confirmed that he knew she was there, that he was just too fucked up to care. Reality set in, and it was then that I grasped I would be raising our baby by myself. I didn't even contemplate getting an abortion. It wasn't even on my spectrum of thinking. Daisy Mitchell, the nurse announced, saying my real name. This wasn't Briggs who was doing this. This wasn't me hiding behind someone I created to survive. This was me. The girl that died in the car with her parents was now alive, and killing someone else in her life. The irony was not lost on me. When Molly, the little girl, said her mom had died, and that she was there with her dad, that her father brought her to this hellhole, and that he would find her, that he always found her. It hit me like a ton of fucking bricks. My parents had died too, and I didn't have a choice in how my life turned out. I couldn't do that to another innocent life. Especially my baby. What kind of mother would that make me? I couldn't be that selfish, even though I wanted this baby more than anything in this world. What if something happened to me? I'd leave it with their drug-addicted father, or even fucking worse, my uncle? My child would become Molly. My child would become me. I contemplated adoption, but there was no way in hell that I could have this baby, our baby, growing inside me for 9 months. The baby that I already loved with all my heart, just to give it away to someone. I would end up keeping it. The vicious cycle would never end. There was no way out of it. I struggled with my emotions, with my choice, with my decision for over a week. There was no other choice to be had. I made the appointment, and I've hated myself ever since. "Are you Daisy Mitchell? We're ready for you," the nurse announced again, holding the door open, waiting for me to come back in. I grabbed my phone and walked back in. I followed her through a long corridor, feeling as if I was being taken to my execution. And in a way, I was. She took me into a room that had an examination table. The nurse asked questions about my medical history and other personal questions that I imagined were standard. The doctor came in, followed by the nurse. She explained to me the steps of the procedure. I lay back on the table with my feet in stirrups. The uncontrollable tears slid down my face, and the nurse grabbed my hand in sympathy. "Honey, you don't have to do this. Do you want us to call someone for you?" the same nurse asked. I shook my head no and spoke through the tears. "There is no one." I couldn't be selfish. This wasn't about me. It was about destroying another life. More blood on my hands. They were extremely understanding and reassuring, telling me over and over again that there was no judgment. She explained the aftercare. I nodded the entire time, feigning attention. It happened in less than 5 minutes. The last piece of my heart was taken away from me. A part I knew I would never get back. No matter how much I wanted to, no matter how many times I'd pray, I did this, and I had no one to blame but myself. The burden was mine to carry. All I knew was that I cried the entire time. When it was done, they took me into a comfortable room with leather recliners, and I curled up in one for a few hours, wrapped up in some warm blanket. Cradling my stomach, mourning the loss of something I wanted so desperately, so fucking badly, something I had never even held in my arms. I didn't just kill my baby that day. I killed me. I ended up slipping out without being noticed, because I didn't have anyone to pick me up. I probably shouldn't have driven in my condition, but all I wanted to do was go home. Once again, it was a reminder that I really was alone in this cruel world. I took a shower the next day, wanting to wash away the misery. I curled up in a little ball, letting the hot water run over my broken body. The tears wouldn't stop, and my body was shaking to the core. I couldn't breathe. I kept repeating over and over again, "What have I become? I'm so fucking sorry, baby. I didn't have a choice. I'm so, so sorry. You're with Grandma and Grandpa now. They will take care of you." I cried harder, talking to a life that didn't exist anymore, thinking about my parents and everything that had ever been taken from me. I stayed there till the water was too cold to bear. I grabbed my blanket, then buried myself in my bed and sobbed the entire day so alone. No one to comfort me, hold me. No one to tell me they loved me, that everything was going to be okay. It was like I was that little girl, the one that had no friends, no family, no love. As if Austin never existed. But he did, and that only made it worse, because I knew what it was like to have that, to have him. To have everything I ever wanted, only for it to be taken away from me, without my say or consent. My uncle took yet another thing from me. Adding to the endless pile of things I didn't have anymore, things I could never get back. I placed the ultrasound picture behind my favorite picture in the frame by our bed. That was all I had left. My memories. It started to get late after Austin left me pleading for him to stay. I just didn't want him to go get fucked up. I didn't want him to go numb his pain and drown his sorrows with drugs. I wanted him to stay with me and mourn the loss of our baby together, to help each other through it, like a normal, loving couple. What we used to be. I was so conflicted I couldn't even fucking see straight. I knew I should have packed up my shit and left, but I couldn't. I still loved him. After everything he had put us through, I still loved him so goddamn much. He was all I'd ever known. I didn't know how to be without him. There was no Daisy without Austin. I felt so much guilt for the man he had become. I brought him into this lifestyle when I already knew he was popping pain pills like candy. I knew he had an addictive personality. I knew he loved to numb his pain so he didn't have to feel anything. It was like he had a death wish, and I put a loaded gun in his hand. I blamed myself. I wanted to save him. To save one fucking person in my life. I knew what he said was out of anger, that he didn't mean it. I could see that he regretted saying those hateful things to me immediately. I knew he was hurting. I knew he was sick. And maybe I was sick too. I had become as codependent on him as he did with his drugs. At the end of the day, I didn't know if that was right or if it was wrong. All I knew was that I fucking loved him. I was honestly just so fucking devastated that he let the little girl come into the party. It burned into all my insecurities of what I didn't want to be true, as all the lies I told myself for years came tumbling down on me, suffocating me in ways I never thought possible. When 1 a.m. turned into 3 a.m., and 3 a.m. turned into 4 a.m., and 4 a.m. turned into the next afternoon, and the next evening, and then the next day. No Austin. He had never not come back to me. It didn't matter how late it was, how fucked up he was. I always went to sleep with him in our apartment. For 5 days, 5 fucking days, I didn't see him. I didn't hear from him. I didn't know if he was dead or alive. I wanted to call my uncle to ask him if maybe he sent him somewhere, or Austin requested to be sent somewhere, but I didn't. The last thing I needed was to bring my uncle into this fucking havoc. I called local hospitals instead. I drove and walked around places I thought he could be. I left voicemail after voicemail on his phone. I was so desperate to find him, I even called John and Mitch's phones as well. I didn't sleep, fearing I'd miss his call. I sat up waiting for the call or the knock on the door that thankfully never came. After 5 days, I finally heard the lock on the door turn at almost 11 at night. I wanted to run to him, to hold him, to have him hold me, to have him kiss me, call me his girl and tell me that he loved me. I was just so fucking thankful he was alive and had come home to me. I didn't. I stayed seated on the couch watching the doorknob turn and him walk in, almost expecting what I was about to see, but even that didn't prepare me. He looked like he hadn't slept or showered since he'd left. His eyes were bloodshot, and his pupils were non-existent in a way I'd never seen before. Dull blue eyes stared back at me with no familiarity behind them. No Austin. He walked toward me wearing the same clothes he had left in. The sleeves now rolled down his arms, but not buttoned. My heart dropped. It was loud. It was clear. It was everything that was left of me. Of us. Tears instantly pooled in my eyes. I couldn't believe I still had some left after all the crying I had done since he left me, begging him not to go, not to do what I knew he was going to. He stood right in front of me, peering down with dead, glassy, soulless eyes, the haze clouding all around us. He was still clearly high as fuck. My eyes fell on the blood seeping through the forearm of his dress shirt. "What did you do, Austin? What did you fucking do?" I whispered so low, scared that if I had said it any louder then it would be true. His head leaned back a little, barely able to hold himself up. "Let me see your arms. Roll up your sleeves." He followed my gaze down to the blood, blinking a few times before he realized what I meant. I already knew what was lying beneath the stained fabric, but I needed to see it with my own eyes. If I saw it, I couldn't make excuses anymore. He cocked his head to the side, slowly starting to unbutton his shirt. He let it slide down his shoulders, to his hands, and threw it on my lap. I held his blood-stained shirt in my hands and saw the dried red marks on his veins. Tears slid down my face, one right after the other. "Why? Why would you do this?" I cried, not understanding. He narrowed his eyes at me and spoke with more conviction than I had ever heard before, slaying the last bit of will I had left.
"You decided to kill a part of me, baby, without even telling me. So I'm just finishing what you started."
Chapter 29, Austin. My body felt like it weighed 200 pounds, sinking into the mattress. My head was fucking throbbing. All I could hear was a wah-wah sound echoing all around me.
"Daddy! Daddy, wake up! Please wake up!"
I felt little hands poking me. opening my eyes to a beautiful baby girl with a halo of light shining behind her long brown hair. Bright blue eyes that mirrored Briggs's.
Austin! Austin, wake up! Please wake up!
Daddy, you need to wake up. Mommy needs you now. Come on, sleepyhead. Get out of bed. Go back to Mommy. She needs you more than I do. I'm fine. We will meet one day, I promise.
I tried to talk to her, to reach for her, but every time I did, my baby girl would move further and further back into the light, away from me, always leaving me without my consent, without my approval. This was the closest I had ever been to her. Usually I just saw her bright blue eyes staring back at me. Sometimes she would be twirling around, playing, laughing, and smiling. I didn't want her to leave me. I wanted to take her in my arms and never let her go.
Come on, Austin, don't do this to me,
Briggs yelled from above me, clapping her hands in my face, slapping my cheeks, shaking my body.
Daddy, I love you. Wake up. Wake up, wake up.
I reached for her again when she appeared right next to me. She didn't leave me that time. For the first time since I started seeing her a year ago, after the night I started my own demise, she let me hold her. I held her so fucking tight. I felt her soft baby skin against my arms. The smell of her baby scent surrounded me. I wanted to tell her I loved her. I loved her more than anything, but my mouth wouldn't move. I couldn't get it to fucking move.
I know, Daddy. I love you too,
she said as if she read my mind.
But it's not your time yet. Mommy needs you now, okay? So you need to wake up now. Do it for me, Daddy. Wake up for me.
Her last words faded into the distance, and she was gone, torn out of my grasp. I screamed,
No!
Over and over again, but no sound came out. My lips were moving to no avail.
No, baby. Don't leave me again. No, no, no. Come back to me, baby girl. I'll change. I swear I'll change. Just come back to me. I don't want to live in a world without my baby. God, fucking take me now. I've been punished enough. I'm so fucking sorry.
Austin, please don't do this to me. Wake up,
Briggs screamed. I slightly opened my eyes, the light blinding me immediately. My baby girl was gone, but the same pair of bright blue eyes were now staring down at me.
Babe, what the fuck?
I groaned out, my mouth dry as fuck.
Oh my God, you stopped breathing. You fucking stopped breathing,
she shouted too close to my face, almost to the point of hysterics.
What? No, I just closed my eyes for a second. I must have fallen asleep. Where is she?
I whispered. My throat burned.
Are you fucking kidding me? I went to take a shower, and when I came out, you weren't fucking breathing. Austin, what did you take? What the fuck did you take? And who the hell are you talking about?
I shook my head, squeezing my temples.
Baby, my head is pounding. Please stop screaming. I'm fine, okay? Look.
I opened my eyes, blinking away the fogginess to focus on her face.
See? I'm fine,
I repeated, closing my eyes again, unable to see her clearly, hoping she would come back. My daughter. Our baby girl.
Jesus Christ! Austin! I think you just OD'd. What if I hadn't been here? What if...
Briggs, I didn't OD. Stop. I'm fine. I must have fallen into a deep sleep or something,
I reasoned, rubbing her leg as she sat next to me on the bed.
Relax,
I coaxed.
A deep sleep where you stopped fucking breathing? Really? What the fuck kind of sleep is that?
Oh my God, Briggs. Fuck. Cut this bullshit. I'm fucking fine. I'm breathing. I'm awake. My head is fucking pounding, so please, just leave me alone.
I rolled away from her. I knew she was glaring at me, even though my eyes were closed. She was overreacting. I was fine.
I didn't do any more dope than I usually did. I just wanted to go to sleep. Our relationship had become strained over the last year or so. I was barely working anymore. Just disappearing more often than not. I didn't know how hours turned into days. Shit blended together more frequently. I loved Briggs, but I couldn't forgive her for what she had done. As much as I wanted to forget, as much as I tried to, and yet I couldn't let her go. Feeling miserable with her was better than enduring life without her. Baby, come here. I'm sorry. I'm just tired, okay? I'm sorry. Come here. I love you. Where's my girl? Come here, I coaxed, pulling her into my arms. She came effortlessly. She always did. It was like we both needed it. I needed to hold her as much as she needed to be held. I rolled to my side, tucking her against my body, pulling her in tight so we were one. She curled up in the nook of my arm, her face pressed against her favorite scar near my heart. I felt her softly kiss it as I kissed the top of her head. I love you, Briggs. I love you more than anything. I would never intentionally hurt you. Tell me you know that. I held her closer, tighter, wrapping her up with my legs, not just my arms. Coming in and out of consciousness, I was still so fucking tired. So fucking out of it. I thought I felt her crying. Or maybe I heard her. Fuck. Maybe I was imagining that, too. I couldn't tell the difference from reality or a dream anymore. You're my girl. You'll always be my girl, no matter what, I softly murmured, letting sleep and darkness take over. I dreamt all night of bright blue eyes, of our baby, of Briggs being happy, laughing, her smiling, beautiful face as she held our daughter. Holding on to the illusion that it was real, that it wasn't just a dream. That was the best part of my day, when I was high, lost in the fog where my mind would play tricks, showing me the life I wanted, the life I could have had, the one I promised Briggs. It was the only time I was happy, the only time I felt whole, the only time I was sober. The dreams in which I was a father, Briggs was my wife, we had a family. Those were the best dreams I ever had. I wasn't spinning out of control, fading in and out of love again, broken beyond repair. I inhaled the smell of Briggs as I fell deeper into the spaces in between my drug-induced slumber and dreams. Feeling her run through my veins, my bloodstream, mixing with the demons that had taken over my body. She was floating inside me, etched so far into my soul. I woke up the next morning immediately reaching for Briggs, patting the empty space beside me. She wasn't there, and my heart dropped. Panic set in. My eyes instantly opened, sitting up, looking for her. I breathed a sigh of relief when I saw her sitting on the couch, watching me. Our eyes locked. She looked like she hadn't slept all night, her memory blanket wrapped securely around her shoulders, her knees pressed against her chest with her arms wrapped tightly around them, holding the blanket in place like she was barricading herself to feel safe. She looked so tiny, so scared. Her eyes were bloodshot red, tears streaming down her face like she hadn't stopped crying all night. Baby, come here. She shook her head slowly, not breaking our eye contact.
You almost died last night. You OD'd, Austin.
I didn't OD.
How would you know? You were practically dead. You stopped fucking breathing.
Briggs, stop. I'm fine, look. I lifted my hands in the air. I'm alive. Nothing happened. I reasoned with her, pulling the covers off of me. Her eyes widened with a crazed expression I'd never seen before. I got out of bed, walking over to her. She put her hands out in the air, stopping me.
Get dressed.
I cocked my head to the side.
What? Get dressed, Austin. I'll be waiting in the car.
With that, she got up and left,
It was almost as if she needed to leave, or else she wouldn't go through with what the hell she was thinking.
What's going...
The fuck? I said out loud as I watched her walk out the door.
It wasn't like I could have gone after her. I was in my damn boxers. My head was still fucking throbbing. No matter how many times I rolled my head around, popping my neck, it still fucking hurt. I made my way into the bathroom, taking down 4-oxys to help with the splitting pain. I threw on a pair of jeans and a black t-shirt, grabbing a Red Bull from the fridge on my way out the door. She was sitting in the driver's seat, staring blankly out in front of her, lost in thought, not even acknowledging me as I got in the car. I lit up a cigarette and downed the drink in my hands in one gulp. I was finally starting to feel somewhat fucking normal. The pills were finally kicking in.
Baby, where are...
She reached for my hand, holding it tightly in her grasp, before placing it on her lap, as if she needed to feel my touch. My warmth. I'd never seen her like that. She was starting to scare me. I wanted to talk to her, to ask her what was going on, but something told me she wouldn't have answered. There was no getting through to her. She had fallen down a hole that I'd never been down before. I chain-smoked the entire drive to God knows where. When she got off at the Brooklyn Bridge exit, I really didn't know where the fuck we were going. She parked the car on the side of the road once we hit the bridge, swinging her door open and getting out of the car before I even said a word. I followed close behind her as we walked up the pathway. She stopped when we reached the arches, and it hit me that I had passed this bridge hundreds of times and never noticed what those arches symbolized. But seeing Briggs stand under them, it was the first fucking time I saw the angel wings within the arches above her head, mimicking the angel wings on her back.
Baby, what the fuck is...
Her intense glare over the edge of the railing made me stop talking. I watched with a captivated stare, wanting to know what the hell she was thinking, what the hell was going on in her mind. I watched in horror as she stepped up onto the railing. I lunged into action, roughly grabbing her around the waist, spinning her to the ground in front of me. I immediately pulled away, needing to look at her.
What the fuck are you doing? Are you on...
She pushed me away from her. I stumbled back more from the unexpected shove than the force of her moving me. She looked back over the edge, and I swear to God I was ready to tackle her to the goddamn ground if she tried to step on the railing again. Instead, she peered back at me with a penetrating glare that resonated deep within my bones.
"What is going on in that beautiful mind of yours?"
I asked, needing to know before she hurt herself. She slowly stepped back, and I quickly stepped forward,
gripping onto her waist,
tucking her toward me. Our faces were now a foot apart. I could feel her rapid heart beating against my chest, vibrating against my entire body, shaking me to my core. She looked deep into my eyes and asked,
"You want to die, Austin?"
My eyes widened in shock. Hers filled up with fresh tears as she continued,
"Well then, here's your chance. Jump. Stand on the ledge and fucking jump."
She shook her head, tears now falling down her devastated face.
"I won't stop you,"
she added. I jerked back from the impact of her words, from what she was saying to me, letting her go. She didn't falter, stepping toward me, roaring with execution.
"Fucking jump, Austin, if you want to die, because I can't watch you kill yourself slowly anymore."
Briggs, we stood on the bridge staring at each other for a second, possibly a few minutes, maybe several hours. Time seemed to blend together as much as his drugs did. I was the first to break the silence. "Austin, I'm fucking exhausted. You have no idea what I go through every single day in this life with you. I don't remember when I had a good night's sleep. You disappear for days at a time. I don't know whether you're alive or dead in an alley somewhere. Every bad thought runs through my head. I question everything, especially what the fuck I'm still doing here trying to save a man that obviously doesn't want to be saved. I sit here putting my life on hold, waiting for you to walk through that damn door, or worse, The cops knocking to tell me you're dead. I pause to let my words sink in. But you know what I keep telling myself? The man that's standing in front of me right now is already dead. So why should I fucking worry myself sick?
Briggs.
I'm tired of you punishing me, Austin, for making the only choice I could.
I would have straightened out if you would have given me the chance. You saw me after I found the ultrasound photo. I would have stopped using the moment you told me. I would have been the man that you fell in love with. I would have...
For how long, Austin? How long until things got scary and you found solace in your drugs again? His eyes glazed over, understanding what I said. And what if I died, Austin? It happens every day, all around us. What if something happened to me? Would you relapse, or would you stay clean for our baby? Would you be the man that takes our child to a drug party? Huh? Leaving him or her at a table to fend for herself? Tell me, since you have clearly proven that you can't handle emotional distress, you numb-
That's not true, he said through a clenched jaw.
Really? What part? What happened after you found out about what I did? Is that not enough proof for you? You ran straight for the drugs, only this time it was the worst kind. How about Savannah's funeral? How fucked up were you for that? Hmm? Want more? How about since your car accident?
I was taking pain pills for my back, he gritted out.
I scoffed. 10 to what? 30 a day? How many do you have to take for your back not to hurt, Austin? His eyes widened, taken aback. You've been numbing your pain since you were 18. It's been 10 years. 10 fucking years, Austin. It's all that you know anymore. Now tell me, how would you deal with something happening to me? What is the first thing you would do? What is the first thing you would turn to? He opened his mouth to say something, but nothing came out. Not one word. He reached his hand up to rub the back of his neck, looking away from me. Exactly. Let me see how accurately my guess is. I think you'd let our kid stay with my uncle when you decided you needed to go on a binge. He'd be the perfect babysitter, seeing as you don't talk to your friends or family at all. Or you'd skip the babysitter altogether and be like Molly's dad, subjecting our child to drugs. You're still dealing, working for my uncle. Not as much because you've become a goddamn junkie. The life you promised me, the reason that you started doing this in the first place, is long gone. So, you tell me, what fucking choice did I have? His chest was rising and falling with every word that left my mouth, battling against his own reality. The wind picked up at that moment, causing chills to run throughout my body. I'm done with having you punish me. The burden I'm already carrying is more than I will ever be able to bear. Ever. I stated, accenting the last word. I love you, Austin, but I can't watch you kill yourself. It's the drugs, or it's me. You can't have both anymore. It's your choice. Your only choice. But if you don't choose me, then fucking jump off this ledge, because all you're doing is prolonging the inevitable. It literally killed me to say that to him. I stood there on pins and needles, waiting for my entire life that was standing before my eyes to choose me. To choose his girl. His heaven instead of his hell. His internal struggle was written clear across his tormented expression. He swallowed hard, turning to walk over to the railing. And for a split second, I thought I was going to watch the love of my life jump to his fate. His hands tightly gripped the wires as if they had all the answers for him.
You don't fucking get it, Daisy. It's the only time I see her, he rasped.
He hadn't called me that since he learned the truth of what I did. My heart soared for the first time in a year. See who, Austin?
Aw, baby.
What are you-
When I found out, that night,
he stuttered, not being able to say it.
I saw her, through the haze. She was there. She has your eyes, Briggs. Your dad's eyes. The only time I see her is when I stick a needle in my arm, he scoffed out.
Oh my God, I breathed out. He bowed his head, releasing a deep sigh.
I'm scared, baby. I'm so fucking scared, he confessed, looking at the traffic below us.
I immediately went to him, turning his body around to face me, grabbing the sides of his face so he would look at me like he had done so many times to me.
I don't know how not to be high anymore. It's who I am now, Daisy. I don't want to stop seeing our baby girl either.
I'll be there every step of the way. We will do this together. I promise I won't leave your side.
When I'm high, I get to see the life we could have had. The life I promised you. It's the only time I'm happy. It's the only time I don't feel the guilt over everything that's become of us. Everything I've done.
the hurt and pain I've caused you. I know. I'm scared too, Austin. But I know in my heart. I placed my hand over the scar near his heart. I know you're still in there, buried deep within the pain that you keep masking with the drugs. The excuses you're making to continue on your downward spiral, that's only going to lead you nowhere but 6 feet under. I don't want that. Please, don't make me bury someone else I love. Please, don't leave me alone. I said, my voice breaking. We can make that dream a reality without the drugs. We can still have that life. What if I'm not that person anymore? What if the man that you love so fucking much is gone, baby? What if I can't reach deep enough to find him anymore? I love every single part of you, the good and the bad. Do you hear me? I'm sorry, Daisy. I know I say it all the fucking time, but I'm so fucking sorry for everything I have put you through. You're still the only thing that matters to me. No, I'm not. Your drugs are, but that's why I brought you here, to save you. I hate myself. I hate what I've done to us, to you, to our love. I hate that I made you feel like you didn't have a choice when you got pregnant, having a baby, a family, a life with you. It's all I've ever wanted. I don't know how I lost my way. I don't know how the drugs took over. I ask myself that every single day with no answers, with no excuses. I have nothing but the syringe that I keep injecting into my arms, chasing the dragon down the rabbit hole that only takes me further and further away from you. It just takes away the pain. Austin, I can't help you unless you want to be helped. I can't do this for you. I can't lose you. I'm nothing without you. He caressed the side of my cheek and I leaned into his embrace, soaking up his warmth, his love, his truth, that I hadn't felt in so long. I don't want to go to rehab. I just need you. That's all. I can do this at home with you by my side. I nodded, smiling. He caught my expression in the air and placed it near his heart. He hadn't done that in years. And for the first time, it gave me hope that everything was going to be okay. Chapter 30. Briggs.
Please, 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 baby. Just give me one hit to take the edge off. Just one fucking hit. I'm dying, Briggs. I feel like I'm fucking dying.
Austin wailed. 2 days went by, but it felt more like an eternity. I hated seeing him in so much pain. The withdrawals crippling him in ways I never thought were possible.
Baby, just let me have a taste. Just a taste. It hurts. It fucking hurts.
He slurred, grinding his teeth and shaking to the core. It didn't matter if I put 3 layers of blankets on him. He couldn't stop shivering. His body was convulsing, and he was in and out between hot and cold sweats. I was sitting on the bed with my back against the headboard. Austin's head was on my lap, his arms securely wrapped around my waist. He was sweating profusely, as if he had just stood in the pouring rain, his body trembling so hard that it vibrated the entire bed. I was lightly rubbing his head, trying my best to ease his discomfort. Anytime I touched any other place on his body, he said my skin felt like daggers against his sensitive flesh. That stung my heart, but I knew it was the withdrawals talking.
Baby, please, please, I'm fucking dying. It hurts. Everything fucking hurts. Please, just a taste.
He groaned in pure agony, punching his legs from the intense muscle spasms, arching his back, then contracting into a ball like a possessed man.
Austin, shh. You're okay. You're okay. Come on. I know, baby.
I soothed the best I could, knowing it didn't mean anything. I'm going to get a cold rag, okay? I'll be right.
No, don't leave me,
he panicked. He wouldn't let me out of his sight, no matter what I said. We had moved from the couch to the bathroom where he laid with his head on my lap on the tile floor for the first few hours, throwing up constantly once the drugs wore off. At one point, I just sat him against the bathtub to let him puke in there. His body was so weak, he couldn't crawl to the toilet. I don't know how he still had shit coming up. I was in and out of consciousness, not wanting to leave him alone, although his physical distress wouldn't allow me to anyway. I used to lie awake, counting the freckles and scars on his arms that he always laid across me, holding me tight against his body. Now I counted the tracks on them, which are almost physically impossible to see under his tattooed sleeves, all the colors, shadings, and inks covering what our reality had become for the last year. Austin hadn't slept at all, the extreme pain keeping him from being able to drift off. Insomnia set in fast and with no remorse, keeping him wide awake to feel every ounce of withdrawal, His body was craving the drugs that it had been living on for years. I knew opiate and heroin were the worst withdrawals. I just never imagined that watching it would kill me as much as the drugs were killing him. Terrified he wouldn't make it through the night, and the addiction would win. It was like that for 2 more days. Same old shit, just a different day. Both of us were so fucking exhausted. I was able to get him to eat some crackers and drink some water, and for the most part it stayed down. He had no energy. Even when I would help him walk around our apartment for a few minutes every few hours, just to get his muscles to move, it seemed to help with the cramping and spasms. By the 5th day, it looked like we were past the worst. I saw light at the end of the tunnel again. At least physically. Mentally, he was so out of it, but I knew a big part of it was from him not sleeping. I crushed up 2 sleeping pills in his water without him knowing, and even that took several hours to finally kick in. I took a hot shower for the first time since we got home from the bridge. I stayed in there, letting the hot water drown out my sorrows, trying to cling on to hope, praying to God we would make it through this, that he would make it through this. Austin took the first step by flushing every last drug we had in the apartment down the toilet. He was fine for like 12 hours before the withdrawal crept in. Slowly, then it just took the fuck over. I had never seen that many emotions take over a person's body before. Why anyone would do this to themselves was beyond me. I just prayed that the pain was enough to keep Austin sober. Enough to keep his demons at bay. One thing was for sure. There was no way we could stay in this apartment. Possibly even New York. There was no way we could continue this lifestyle and Austin make it out alive. At that point in time, my uncle never questioned what the fuck was going on, but he had to assume. Austin hadn't been around or answering his phone. I would be lying if I said it didn't shock me that he just didn't show up at our apartment demanding to know what was going on. I placed my memory blanket on top of Austin, careful not to wake him. I grabbed my phone from the nightstand and went outside, leaving the balcony door cracked in case he woke up. It rang 2 times before he answered. "I've been expecting your call," Uncle answered. I took a deep breath. "Hello to you too, Uncle."
"How is he?"
Shaking my head in disgust, I scoffed out. "You knew?"
"Briggs, there's really little I don't know when it comes to my fucking business, and even then, I always find out."
"And you still had him dealing? Even though you knew? What the fuck is wrong with you? When are you going to start?" He completely ignored my questions.
"He's a grown-ass man. I'm not his keeper.
You were mine. But seeing as you did such an amazing job of raising me, I guess I couldn't expect any less." I shook my head, once again disappointed by the turn in events. "Tell me, Uncle, if you didn't want me, then why did you take me in? Why not just leave me in foster care? My parents didn't have a will. It's not like you were obligated. So why? Why go through all the trouble and burden to raise me if you didn't want me?" I asked for the first time, needing the answer to the question that consumed my very being since the day he brought me back to his penthouse.
"We're family, Briggs. You're my niece whether you want to be or not. No matter what you think of me, I would never turn my back on my family. Ever."
He spoke with conviction. "You have a very diluted sense of the word family, Uncle."
"I raised you the only way I knew how,"
he rasped out, almost in a sad tone I'd never heard before, causing me to jerk back from the sudden emotion in his voice. "Do you even love me?" I blurted, raising my eyebrows as soon as the question left my mouth. He didn't falter.
"I loved your mother, and you're a part of her," he simply stated.
"I stopped trying to understand you fucking decades ago, but if you want to finally do something for me, then you'll let us go. If he has any chance of living a normal life, I need to get him out of here, away from you." Silence. "Please. Please, Uncle." I would beg him on my hands and knees if I needed to.
"You will always be my niece, Briggs, and I will always be your uncle, in any life you choose."
He forewarned and immediately hung up before I had the chance to say anything. I didn't give it any more thought. Walking back into the apartment, I looked over at a sleeping Austin, finally feeling hopeful.
Austin. I woke up at the crack of dawn with a sleeping Briggs in my arms. I couldn't remember the last time I watched her sleep. She was usually out of bed before me, and that was if she even slept at all. She was lying on my arm, curled around it like a stuffed animal, her memory blanket placed on top of both of us. She was a sight for sore fucking eyes. She looked like an angel, with her hair spread out on the pillow, and her pink pouty lip that she loved to bite was sticking out. Damn. I was a lucky son of a bitch. It had been over 2 weeks since I stopped using. I wasn't even taking pain pills, and I owed it all to the woman in my arms. For the first time in over a decade, I was completely sober.